God doesn't ask us to stress about what we're going to do tomorrow, the next week, the next year, the next 10 years. He wants us to be present and to love him and to love his people well right here, right now. And because of his faithfulness, he'll wake us up tomorrow and give us another chance to do it should he see fit.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
Today we sat down with Phil and Heather, who are members at Vintage Durham.
You'll hear about fostering, you'll hear about becoming a staff member, and also kind of where they came from, and that this is a journey that they did not plan, but are loving every minute of it. You just feel all their energy. So I don't want to hold us back anymore. I hope that you will enjoy this session as much as I did, hearing how God is working in just two normal people's lives.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
So without further ado, let's... Baby, I want you to do the dive.
Let's dive in.
That's right.
So we're sitting here with Heather and Phil. They are members over at Vintage Durham. Do you guys want to tell us a little bit about just your story, your family? You're at Vintage Durham. When did you start going there?
Yeah, so I can start. We moved to North Carolina about 5-ish years ago, and we had good friends that we knew from Buffalo that went to Vintage. So we started coming here kind of sparingly, and then they went with us to Durham, and we just kind of started getting plugged in. The Stick Six actually really resonated with us. And more so than anything, I think it was just the community at Vintage Durham that kept us coming back. We got plugged in with a community group really quickly. And yeah, I guess it's been 3 or 4 years now since we've been in Durham. To go way back, I guess, Phil and I were both raised Catholic. And that's been important, you know, in terms of family and tradition. But I think when we moved here, we were having a hard time finding community in some of the churches that we had looked at. And so that was something that was very different about coming to Vintage, was the emphasis on community, and we hadn't really experienced that as much growing up, so it has become very important to us.
Yeah, that's similar to my background too. I was raised Catholic, and then, you know, when I went off to university and wasn't having my mom make me go to church, then I guess the burn wasn't inside me, and there was no desire in me to kind of pursue, and so I guess that was when it changed. We also looked at churches too, and then found Vintage.
So when you guys moved down here, what were you guys doing for work at the time?
I moved down here first, and I was working as a nurse at UNC Hospital. And Phil and I have been together since high school. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. But so when we both finished college, we were ready to go somewhere different. But he's actually a year younger, so he had to finish school. We were in this kind of transition period. Mm-hmm. So we thought, we'll go somewhere fun for 2 years and then go back to Buffalo. So in 2014, I moved down. He still was in Buffalo, so I was working as a nurse. So then he came down a year later, and then now, like I said, it's been 5 years, so our little 1 or 2 year plan definitely adjusted. And he came down and started working as a special education teacher in Wake County.
Before we started recording, you did tell me that you're doing something a little bit different now. Can you talk about that?
I just came on staff at Vintage Durham, full-time as the director of ministries there. July 1st was when I officially started that. I support and equip the ministries that operate on the Sunday service. And then on top of that, handle community outreach in Durham as well. So kind of divide up the responsibilities at our location. And Pastor Michael works on preaching, teaching, shepherding the people who call Vintage Church Durham home. And then I handle kids ministry, welcome ministry, production, band, some of the logistical stuff. And then also am the community resource for that church, or for the community rather, as we've just recently moved into a new location. So building relationships with the people who live in the Walltown community in Durham and partnering with them to show the community the love of Christ.
So the two of you guys came down here like newly married and all of that. Tell us what your family is like now.
Not long after getting plugged into community at Durham and really pursuing relationship with God and discerning the calls on our life that he was making, we partnered with him to pursue foster care. And so, long story short, the way we look at it is, at this time we have a 17-year-old daughter that doesn't live with us, but we still think of her that way. She has an 11-month-old daughter as well, And we currently have a 3-year-old son, foster son, and his 9-month-old sister. And we are currently expecting our first biological child in September. So, kids. A lot of them.
Congrats.
Very different.
Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, speaking of community, what ways has the Vintage Durham community rallied around you guys? I mean, is there anything that comes to mind specifically?
Yeah, you're just going to have to fight my tears as I tell the story.
That's why I was deferring to you. We're super
Gosh, I mean, where do we even begin? Between meal rotations, people signing up to become licensed respite providers, because with children in foster care, your friends just can't babysit them. They have to be approved and background checks and all this stuff. And all the people in our community that went through that for us. So, meal trains, respite care, play dates with friends. I mean, just prayer and love and allowing us to be vulnerable about the process as well. Like, it's not like we show up on Sundays and we're like, it's all good. Everything's good. People are like, okay with us being us and loving us at our point of need in that community. And very grateful for the way that the Lord has provided Vintage Church Durham to support us in that way.
Again, just being able to take our masks off and say, like, this is what's really hard. And because I think we do feel some pressure to, like, we want people to see God through foster care, but it's a broken thing. Like, God never intended for foster care to have to happen. And so we're just fortunate to have people that, you know, we don't have to always be strong, and that we can, we just have our moments of need, and people that are also praying that God's will is done, because I think that's our biggest comfort, is knowing that if we're praying that God's will is done, whatever happens for these children, we know that it was God's will. And we're working on understanding that God loves these kids more than we do, which is seemingly unfathomable, like just hard to wrap my mind around. But that's something as a new mom that I'm really learning, like, God, you can have all of me. I will surrender everything to you, but let me control my kids' lives, please. So I'm working on that, and it's been really enriching.
You know, hearing you talk, I can tell how God's moving in your life, and you've got a lot of momentum is kind of what I'm hearing, and moving in great ways. And part of that has been Vintage Durham coming in and supporting a little bit. But obviously that community, I'm sure you've seen changed over the last several years. Can you speak at all to kind of what you've seen progress? And maybe it wasn't always easy. I know that there's been some pastor changes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe you can talk about the progression and where you see Vintage going.
The people that stayed throughout those changes have remained consistent. So I believe like the church DNA and the way that we do community and the way that we do life has stayed consistent. And I think the Lord was intentional about who stayed in those transitions. And we kind of built from that. And the Lord partnered with our new leadership to build the church. And while there's been a consistent core, we've definitely seen growth in a lot of ways. I believe that we're diving deeper into the word, and we're really wrestling with the difficult conversations and working through what it means to pursue the Lord with everything that we have, not just on Sundays between 10 and 12, but Monday through Saturday as well, and what it looks like to be a people that truly know and love their Creator.
It's actually developing to like a community, not like an acquaintance.
Yes.
It's like, you know, sometimes you just have like, oh, it's that person I see all the time and I always wave. But like, it's not, it feels deeper than that.
Yeah. You feel this good sense of accountability to this is your family that you're doing life with. And you need to be not just like a, hey, how are you? Like, I really want to know how you are. And
there's no passing conversation.
So that's been good. And then I think just everyone in a lot of the leaders in Durham just have a heart for growth. I mean, our ministries haven't always looked perfect, and we don't always have, you know, I don't know, all the volunteers you might need. And there's like a lot of conversation about that, but there's just a lot of people really, really working hard to continue to change that. And so I think there's a lot of endurance. We've only moved from when Phil and I have been at Vintage when we were at the Arts Council, and then now moved more downtown. But some of our other members have been through 5 or 6 location changes, and I just am grateful for them and their leadership and their faithfulness that they've stayed with the church. I think we all feel a little sense of like peace and permanency with this new transition. Mm-hmm. It's felt like big and good and more permanent. And I don't know, I guess I can only speak for myself, but.
No, I support that. Yeah, I support that. I think he wouldn't take credit for it, but Pastor Michael and his family really have set the tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Churches have this unique way of adopting the DNA of their leaders. Mm-hmm. And in a good way, I think that Vintage Church has done that. Pastor Michael and Jomar and their children, they do lead from the front. You know, when we...
The actual front.
Yeah, no, like when we were still in the Arts Council, there was a lot of setup. There was a lot of teardown. And we'd get there at, you know, a half hour before service sometimes just to help out. And Michael would be like, oh, we got it, you know.
Yeah. Their youngest son has both hands up in the air praising the Lord during worship. They lead by example.
They lead by example. And they... Yeah. Provided the vision for our church that we were going to build first by leading the Holy Spirit, calling on our lives and partnering with God, but also by being a family. That was the driving force for this ministry, was that we would be authentic and we'd love each other well. We'd love Jesus with everything that we had.
Ask about that actually. So when you were talking about it, you're talking about it's a real close-knit family and you're really starting to get to know each other. Now, as an outsider that maybe nobody has been there before, they're like, well, you know, maybe it's not for me because it's a pretty tight group already. So what do you say, like, how can you speak to, is it a place to, hey, bring your friends and if anybody is listening to this from lives in the area, come check it out? I mean, what can you talk to that at all?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean,
come
and see what the Lord is doing in the space. And I would challenge you. I doubt you leave the same as you came in. I really believe that.
It's palpable.
We believe that the people who attend services on Sunday aren't there because they stumbled in or because they were dragged in, but because there was a divine intervention on their life that they be present to hear the word of God and praise him with the people of God. And I believe that there's space in that church for anybody who wanted to come and explore that and look into that. And the tight-knit family feel is not to suggest that this is our family and there's no room for anybody else. It's actually the opposite. Like, we want this family to grow. Bring your kids, bring your friends, bring your everybody, because we got space for you and we love you. And
it's a tight-knit, loving group.
But yeah.
They love outwardly.
The church that was in the space before, a lot of their members have been coming.
Yeah.
And they live right in the community where the church is. The church is literally in a neighborhood, houses on either side. And so many of the women that attended the church that was previously in the space still come each week, and we've gotten to know them. They're inquiring about membership and being part of our body. They do a lot of service for the elderly individuals in the neighborhood in terms of meals and things like that. So they'll use our parking lot space to do that each week. And we have hopes of joining them and doing that as well. So when I think about when Phil and I first started coming, I mean, we had looked at a few different churches and the ownership was definitely on us in terms of, oh, this didn't seem like a great fit, or, you know, we needed to challenge ourselves to invest. And we were definitely in very different places in our faith before getting plugged into community. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the very first time we went, I think they weren't having community group that week. They were watching UNC basketball and they were like, we don't actually have community group this week, but you guys should come. So we came, and that's been similar. I mean, I think about some of the newer folks that have started coming to our community group. There was a week where we had a cookout celebrating Phil and Ben Snow.
All the shout outs.
My point is, I think, whether it's actual community group or just, hey, we're doing life tonight, there's definitely a vague sense of inclusion in that too.
I can feel that you're excited about the way God's working in your lives. And I just want to say, did you ever think, you know, when you guys met originally, that this is where you would be?
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, did I ever think Phil would work for the church?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll did I always know that you had the heart to do so? Yes, absolutely. But I think we have that conversation all the time. Did you ever think when, you know, we were playing high school soccer and football that we would have like all these children?
I think it's really important to make this distinction that the Lord is using us to be foster parents. So that's how we gain that perspective. But that perspective is useful for anybody. Mm. It's not like an exclusivity to, oh, well, these children may be in our care a month from now. We might adopt them. They might leave tomorrow. But like, the truth is, if we know the scriptures well, we might not be here tomorrow, right? And we have to remember that God doesn't ask us to stress about what we're going to do tomorrow, the next week, the next year, the next 10 years. He wants us to be present and to love him and to love his people well right here, right now. And because of his faithfulness, he'll wake us up tomorrow and give us another chance to do it should he see fit.
Man, that's good.
Wow. it's not just exclusive to foster parents. Yeah. No one said that the child that's coming in September is promised to me for 30 years. Mm. No one told me that. So as a foster dad, I even hate that term foster dad, right? Like, I've been so preoccupied with, will I be their father? Will I be their father? Well, who cares if I'll be their father? Because I'm their father right here, right now. Yeah. And God saw fit to do that in my life. So yeah. What do I hold back?
Yeah.
You know, what could I possibly hold back from the God that's given me today to be a dad? What can I hold back from my son, from my daughter? Because I'm worried about 3 months from now where they might live. I don't know where I'm going to live in 3 months if I truly believe the things that I believe.
Yeah.
So what can you hold back from a God that's given you everything you need today?
Yeah.
To do the things he's called you to do.
Just hearing you guys talk about all the things you've experienced since moving down here and just the way that God has obviously intervened in so many ways to bring you to where you are is pretty amazing, and I think is a huge encouragement for anybody listening, maybe that's not really plugged in. Maybe they come on Sunday, they say hi, but it's like there's so much more available to really like plug into the community. And I think also for those of us that have that feeling of being in that community of like, hey, reach out, like there's people looking for that. And there's ways to love on people like you guys have experienced and like you have done for others. I'll say I've been smiling really big this whole episode. It's been really awesome talking to you guys, and I've loved hearing your story.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Making us feel comfortable. I still have sweaty palms.
Yeah, super thanks for coming in. I really appreciate you sharing your story and how you guys are growing, being strengthened through God, and then also just hearing more about Vintage Durham. Hearing what's going on up there, it's pretty exciting. So maybe we'll call some folks back from Vintage Durham in a year or something and see what else
is going
on.
See where we're at then.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.